بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Today is the 18th of October in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 25th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Isra. And I've reached verse 106. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 109. So verse 106, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It is a Qur'an which we have faraqna in order that you might recite it to men in intervals. We have revealed it by stages. So what does it mean, faraqna? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa Qur'anan faraqna, a Qur'an which we have faraqna. So Hafiz Al-Ajuri in his Ash-Shari'ah number 94 with his Sayyid Chain, Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi, he recited most of this verse and he said, it means at intervals. I.e. a Qur'an which we have revealed at intervals. Also, there's a report. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he said, he recited the opening portion, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَا. It is a Qur'an which we have faraqna. The word here, faraqna, may be read in two ways. If it is read as faraqnahu, which is how it's mentioned, with no shadda, the meaning is, we have made it depart from Lawhim Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah in the lowest heaven. Then it was revealed in stages to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to events over a period of 23 years. This was narrated by Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. This is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So faraqna, one meaning is that the whole of the Quran, all of it, was revealed from the Lawhim Mahfuz to the lowest heaven. Bayt al-Izzah is the Kaaba in the lowest heaven. So all of it was revealed in one night. But then from Bayt al-Izzah, it was revealed gradually over 23 years onto the earth. So the simple way to understand that, there was two descents. One is completely it came down but to Bayt al-Izzah, then 23 years. That's what the Quran is referring to. Then Ibn Kathir said, Ibn Abbas also read it as farraqnahu. So there's a connection with the ray. With a shadda meaning, we revealed it ayat by ayat and have explained it and made it clear. This is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So faraqnahu is the verse. The whole of it from Lawhim Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah, then over 23 years from Bayt al-Izzah to the earth. Farraqnahu means we revealed it, and as we were revealing it, we were explaining it. This is the meaning of the separation. I with the reading farraqnahu. Also, there's a report. So this narration is in Nasa'i, Hakim and Bayhaqi. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, and something related back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one night, the Quran was brought down to the lowest heaven. This is Laylatul Qadr. After which it was revealed over a period of 20 years. Then the Prophet recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah 25, verse 33, the translation. And no question do they bring to you, but we reveal to you the truth and the best interpretation. And he recited this verse, verse 106. It is a Quran which we have divided so that you might recite it to men at intervals. We have revealed it in stages. So let's look at this. So in this authentic report in Nasa'i, Hakim and Bayhaqi, either Ibn Abbas or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, like I mentioned, that in one night, Laylatul Qadr, the whole Quran was revealed. So think about that. People get confused over that. Because was it revealed on one night or was it revealed over the period of 23 years? And the answer is both. The whole Quran came down on Laylatul Qadr. from Lohim Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah. And then it was revealed 23 years over a period of 20, slowly, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited a verse, because this is the meaning of another verse. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? No question do they bring to you, but we reveal to you the truth and the best interpretation. Meaning this is the wisdom. If I reveal to all at once, I've answered questions they haven't asked yet. But when they ask the question, I will reveal that verse. So look at the knowledge of Allah. So He's already answered everything. But because you're human beings, you don't understand. So if He answered a question, let's say, that you're going to ask 20 years from now, you don't get the verse. So He holds it back. And then 20 years later, when they ask the question, He sends that bit down. That's the meaning of that verse, Surah 25, verse 33. And then He recited this verse, I proving this whole incident. And the same thing is mentioned, Imam Suyuti said in Al-Itqan, in Ibn Abi Hatim, Allah Ta'ala would provide them with the appropriate answer. So now looking briefly at that verse, Surah 25, verse 32. So Surah 25, verse 32, which the Prophet mentioned here. The translation. The unbelievers say, why is not the Quran revealed to him all at once? It is revealed that we may strengthen your heart thereby, and we have rehearsed it to you in slow, well-arranged stages gradually. Verse 33. And no question do they bring to you, but we reveal to you the truth and the best explanation thereof. So look how interesting. What did the unbelievers say? The Quran says this. Why wasn't the Quran revealed all at once? Allah Ta'ala quotes them. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ لَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. It's a hadith. In Ibn Abi Hatim, the Jews, Ibn Abbas said, the Jews said, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why wasn't the Quran revealed all at once? Just as the Torah was revealed to Musa, alayhi salatu wa sallam. This verse was revealed. I Surah 25, verse 32. The unbelievers say, why is not the Quran revealed to him all at once? We have revealed it thus that we may strengthen your heart, and we have rehearsed it to you in slow, well-arranged stages gradually. So who asked the question? The Jews. Was it a good question? Yes. Because the previous holy books all revealed at once. There wasn't a period of 20 years, 30 years, all at once. So they thought, what's this Quran? And what they didn't understand was it had been revealed all at once. But from Lohim Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah. But Allah Ta'ala mentioned another wisdom here. He goes, to strengthen your heart. كَذَٰلِكَ نُرِثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُعَادَكَ. So one of the virtues of the Quran is strengthens your heart. Allah Ta'ala mentions that. So again, note the Jews asked that. And in another report, the unbelieving Quraysh asked that question. The Jews, you understand, you know, because they believe in scripture. What are you asking? Your idol worshippers. So it seems to indicate the Quraysh were prompted by the Jews. You ask. And the same verse was revealed. Then look what it says in verse 33. No question do they bring to you, but we reveal to you the truth. Wa ahsana tafsira. And the best tafsir. There's a few reports. In Zam al-Qalam, page 69, Masruq said, there is not a single person of deviation, except that the Quran is able to refute him. But it is possible that we might not be aware of it. So Masruq was saying about the Quran. He said, any person who goes off track, their cure is in the Quran. But you might not know it. And what made me laugh was, the way he's talking is like, everybody knew it at that time. Now it's like, is it? Complete opposite. Sha'bi said in Khalal As-Sunnah 1-547, no innovator has introduced an innovation into Islam except that the Quran contains verses that can refute it. So anybody who innovates, because Sha'bi said you'll find the answer in the Quran, you can tell them off, but it takes knowledge. And also Imam Ahmad said in Al-Khalal Sunnah 1-547, if a person were to ponder over the Quran, he would be able to refute every person of innovation in the innovation that he has fallen into. Imam Ahmad refuted the innovators who believed the Quran was created. They start quoting Quran because Quran is created. And what did he do? He quoted Quran back to them. He goes, no, it's not. And he himself said, you will find the answers in the Quran. So why are we infested with innovations now? Because we've left the Quran. We wouldn't be in this mess if we stuck to the Quran. That's what the whole understanding is here. So not all of this is helped to explain this, these passages. Going back to the verse 106. If you look at the end, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? We have revealed it in stages. Now this is what's a miracle. This is a miracle of the Quran. The marvel of the Quran is it was revealed at different times and different circumstances. Yet, when it was completed, it was consistently perfect. So if you've revealing verses over 23 years, and by the time the last verse is revealed, you got a flaw. That's a miracle. It shouldn't flow. It should be jagged. So this is another miracle of the Quran. Allah is teaching you. He's showing you His knowledge. He's actually shown you His power by the Quran. Because I know past, present and future. But because you're weak, I can't reveal everything to you at once. So imagine if Allah had revealed the verses of Badr in Makkah. They wouldn't know what's going on, right? If Allah had revealed the verse of Tabuk at the end of the Prophet's life, before the Prophet in migration, they wouldn't know what's going on. Yeah, all of it was revealed. Imagine. Everything. Zayd, when Zayd divorced his wife, the Quran mentions. He's not even married Zaynab yet, radiyallahu. Right? Allah Ta'ala has already mentioned the divorce. Then he talks about, you know, all these historical incidents, right? In the time of the Prophet, not even happened. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uhud. In Surah Ali Imran, so many verses of Uhud. What's Uhud? Before Uhud. Right? What's this, you know, the Sahaba splitting into three camps. What's this three camps? So Allah Ta'ala is showing to you His power. But then He says, but I revealed it gradually. As a mercy to the Prophet as well. Another reason was the Prophet, it was hurt, it was hard upon the Prophet. The whole Quran, it would be too burdensome upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verse 107. Say whether you believe in it or not, it is true that those who were given knowledge beforehand, when it is recited to them, they fall down on their faces in prostration. So what does Allah Ta'ala referring to here? He's saying there were some others who had knowledge before you. When the Quran is recited to them, they prostrate. Who's he referring to? So you turn to Surah 5, verse 82 and 3. Surah Maida, Surah 5, verse 82 and 3. So he mentions there. So I'll give you the report and you go to the verses. So it's Surah 5, verse 82 and 3. So the hadith is in Bayhaqi in his Dalail al-Nubuwa Ibn Kathir Sira, volume 1, page 222, Hakim in his Mustadrak Ibn Ishaq Ibn Hisham in his Sira. Salman al-Farsi, radiyallahu, he relates, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the Christians' religion. He replied, there is no good in them. I then remembered all those teachers I had accompanied. In particular, the good man who had been in Jerusalem with me. So the Prophet's words had a great impact on me. So stop in the report. So Salman, before he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through many teachers. And apparently they were Christians. That's why he asked that question. He thought the Prophet was going to say, oh, there's some goodness in them. He goes, no goodness. So Salman in his heart thought, oh, what about those teachers? But he didn't say anything. The hadith continues. Allah the Almighty then revealed verse 82 of Surah Maida, translation. The strongest amongst mankind in enmity to the believers are the Jews and the polytheists. And the nearest amongst them in love to the believers will you find those who say, we are Christians. Because amongst these are men devoted to learning, men who have renounced the world and they are not arrogant. When this verse was revealed, the Prophet called Salman. And Salman goes, I was scared, thinking Allah Ta'ala knows what was going through my heart. And when he recited this verse, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then said to me, oh Salman, those teachers you accompanied and your friends, they were not Christians, they were Muslims. I replied, by him who sent you with the truth, the teacher did certainly order me to follow you. For when I said to him, but what if he tells me to leave your religion and your practice? My teacher said, yes, Do leave that for the truth. For what pleases God is in fact whatever He orders you to do. Subhanallah. So basically, Allah Ta'ala knew that these were Muslims. But unbelievably, Salman didn't know. He spent 10 years with him, 15 years with him, 7 years with him. Look at his travel. So imagine you spend, you know, 50 years or so with your teachers, dozens of them. And they're all saying to you, yeah, yeah, Christianity, Christianity. But when they're teaching Islam. And the last one told him, he even said, he goes, what if he tells me to leave it, follow him. And Salman told that strange, he goes, why would my teacher tell me to leave his religion and follow this man? Because he did say that. So what does Allah Ta'ala say about these Christians? Look how interesting. First he says, those who have the strongest adawa, enmity to the believers, and it's 100% true. Who hates the Muslims the most? The Quran tells you, the Jews and the Mushriks. Look at the Hindus, what they're doing to the Muslims. Right? Look at the Jews. Allah Ta'ala has told you beforehand. Read the Quran. But then he says, but the nearest amongst them in mawadda, in love to the believers, are those who say we are Christians. Isn't that true? Right? The sincere Christians, they have got the softest hearts for us. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions three reasons, meaning this is why they are close to you. Number one, they are devoted to learning. Kissisin. That's the word Allah Ta'ala used. They are learned people. Secondly, he says, وَالرُّحْبَانَ they've done zuhd. They want nothing to do with the world. Allah Ta'ala loves that quality as well. Then he says, they are not proud. So Allah Ta'ala is actually telling you something about these three qualities. He goes, if these are not even Muslims, and I love these qualities, then why haven't you got them? Learned, zuhd, and no pride. But in fact, the Prophet himself said that the ones that Salman taught, they were Muslims. And what about the Jews? There's a hadith. In Ibn Mardaway, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, the Prophet said, whenever a Jew is alone with a Muslim, he tries to kill him. That's a hadith. Right? Whenever a Jew is alone with a Muslim, he aspires to kill him. Right? Now why? Because of their enmity. What does Allah Ta'ala say in Surah Al-Fatiha? Which we read at least 17 times a day. They've earned my anger. Why they earn the anger? Because of the zulm they're doing to the Muslims. Now look how stupid they really are. All they've got to do, like Shaykh Ahmad Didad said, is just do one day, just get all the Jews together, say, look, let's make a public day of love for the Muslims. Right? We love the Muslims. Right? And he goes, you proved the Quran wrong? But if somebody goes, Jews or Christians, which one do you trust? Right? And your fitna kicks in. He goes, look, brother, I don't want to. He goes, no, just you know, what do you say? Who would you trust? It's going to be Christian, isn't it? Right? He goes, why? What's the problem with the Jew? And then he goes, well, you know, they got history, haven't they? They got history. Well, right. What about Christian and an idol worshiper? Right? Or a Hindu? Christian, isn't it? Look how your fitna is going with the Quran. Right? So, not here, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that it was those who Allah Ta'ala is talking about in this verse. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Whether you believe in it or not, it is true that those who were given knowledge beforehand, when it is recited to them, they fall on their faces in prostration. So how do we know it was them? Because there's another report. So the report is... So this is a way. So it's recorded in Ibn Abi Hatim, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi, he said, and many others, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damri radiyallahu with a message to King Najashi. So Najashi was the Christian king. A sahaba was sent with a message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Amr radiyallahu read the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Najashi called Ja'far, who was the leader of the Muslims, radiyallahu, and those migrated, and he, there to the monks and priests he sent. Stop in the report. So he gets the message of Rasulullah, the king, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to Ja'far, these are the monks and priests. They're going with you, back to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he commanded Ja'far to recite Surah Maryam. They believed in the Quran and their eyes overflowed with tears. It was about these that Allah Ta'ala revealed Surah 5 verse 82 and 83. So what does he say in verse 83 of Surah Maida? When they listen to what has been revealed down to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of the truth they have recognized. They say, our Lord, we believe. So write us down amongst the witnesses. So who were these Christians? These were the scripture, the people of scripture. They embraced Islam. They became Sahaba. Some of them came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does Allah Ta'ala say? They wept when they heard what? The Quran. Because they had Iman. So going back to this verse in Surah Isra, who is Allah Ta'ala talking about? Whether you believe in it or not, it is true that those who were given knowledge beforehand, when it is recited to them, they fall down on their faces in prostration. Allah Ta'ala is saying, look how strange. You are the flesh and blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're rejecting the message. There's people of other religions who've seen the truth of the Quran. They're distant, they're not even related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have another religion. So what's Allah Ta'ala telling the unbelieving Quraysh? Who's paying them to become Muslim? Meaning, they've got scripture. Follow them. Verse 108. And they say, Subhan, glorified and free from all imperfection is our Lord. Truly has the promise of our Lord been fulfilled. What did they mean by that? They said, Subhanallah, the truth has been fulfilled by our Lord. What's the truth? Those who received the previous revelations find in the Quran and in Rasulullah who brought it the promise fulfilled. Two things they were waiting for. Because there's another prophet to come and the scripture. He's brought it. It's that man in Arabia. He's him. So what did Allah Ta'ala say? He quotes them. Imagine, look at the honor he's given to them. He quotes the Christians. وَيَقُولُونَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِن قَانَ وَعْرُ رَبِّنَا لَنَا مَفْعُولًا. And they say, glory be to our Lord. Truly has the promise of our Lord been fulfilled. Now why is this important? Because the deviance amongst the Jews and Christians, they goes, no. It stops with Musa. It stops with Christ. Where's Muhammad come from? But the learned ones amongst them, they goes, no. There's something left. For instance, even in the corrupted Bible today, what's the questions? And one of the questions that John the Baptist, the people asked him, this is in the Bible. Are you the Messiah? He goes, no. And they ask him another question. I can't remember the second question, right? And the third question is, are you that prophet? And he goes, no. So three questions they asked him in the Bible. Are you Messiah? Are you Christ? He goes, no, I'm not. Then they ask him another question. He goes, no, I'm not. They asked him another question. Are you that prophet? Well, hang on a minute. He's already asked about Christ. They've asked, the people asked Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam about Christ. I'm not Christ. If it stopped with him, why did they ask? Are you that prophet? Who's that other prophet after Christ? It's in the Bible. Right? You go to the Christians. Who's that prophet? And he goes, oh, it meant Christ. Wait, they asked about Christ. He's not going to ask about Christ again, right? And the response is, that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even in their polluted scripture, Yahya goes, no, I'm not him. So note, he's mentioned, and they're trying to hide, and even his name is mentioned. Muhammad in. In the Songs of Solomon, he will be Muhammad. Right? How clear is that? Right? And they've translated it. He is altogether lovely. Well, hang on a minute, you can't translate his name. If your name's Muhammad, you don't go, what's his name? Altogether lovely. His name Muhammad, you can't translate his. They've translated that. So when you read in the Bible, it says this, he is altogether lovely. Who's that? If he said in the Bible, he is Muhammad, they'll start choking. Muhammad, right in Bible. There you go. Mentioned in the Quran and in the previous scripture. Verse 109. They fall down on their faces in tears and it increases them in khushu, humility. So here there's an important thing. This is the verse of prostration. So after the reminder, we'll prostrate. There's a warning in this verse. In Darimi and Warul Bayan, Abu Muhammad Taymi rahmatullah alayhi said, the person whose knowledge of the deen does not cause him to weep is then not worthy of that knowledge. Because the Quran states that this knowledge is supposed to cause a person to prostrate and weep before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala is telling you that if you truly believe in the Quran, not just lip service, you will prostrate and you will weep. So this Shaykh from the Salaf, he said, if you don't, where's your knowledge? Look how sad that is, isn't it? Whenever we wept last when reciting the Quran. Right? So Allah Ta'ala didn't say just prostrate. وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْقُونَ يَبْقُونَ means to weep. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا they fall down on their faces in tears. And it increases them in humility. So no, because we got a disconnect. We're disconnected from the Quran. We haven't got that connection. Also, there's a fiqh point. This is the verse of prostration. So now people ask this question. Do I need to stand up when I prostrate? Or can I prostrate from a sitting position? So Imam Nawawi, rahmatullah alayh, the reference for this is the four Imams and their schools by Sheikh Jibril Fuad Haddad, page 299. Imam Nawawi, rahmatullah alayh, said, amongst the Shafi'is who hold it obligatory for someone sitting when he hears the verse of prostration to rise and stand before prostrating are Abu Muhammad al-Juwayni al-Qadi Hussein, his two companions, the authors of Tatimma and Tahdib, and the verifying Imam Abu al-Qasim al-Rafi. So stopping the quote. So many of the giants of the Shafis, they say that the prostration of the Quran cannot be done sitting. You have to stand up. If you do it sitting, you're wasting your time. So you got to kiss, put the Quran, stand up, then go into prostration. But then the Shaykh said, Imam al-Haramain ibn al-Juwayni relates this from his father, Shaykh Abu Muhammad, then rejects it, saying, I cannot find any basis nor any previous mention of this. The statement of Imam al-Haramain is obvious, for nothing has been established from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that effect, nor from the Salaf, who are our examples. The vast majority of scholars did not address it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is recorded by Imam Nawawi in his Tibyan. So basically, even though some giants of the Shafi school said you have to stand up, there's no proof. If somebody goes, look, okay, no problem. Did the Prophet stand up and prostrate? No proof. Did the Sahaba stand up and prostrate? No proof. Salaf. So they goes, no, you don't need to stand up. However, Imam Nawawi, he mentioned that it is preferable to stand. Why? Because if you look at three verses of the Quran, the verb to fall, kharra, is used in them. The word to fall means kharra. Three verses of the Quran. Surah 17, verse 109, this verse. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَيَخِرُّونَ they fall down on their faces. A second verse in Surah 19, verse 58. When the revelation of the Most Merciful are recited, they kharru, they fall down, worshipping and weeping. A third verse, Surah 32, verse 15. Only those believe in our revelations who, when they are reminded of them, kharru sujjada, they fall down and prostrate. So Imam Nawawi was simply saying that because the Quran is saying, fall down, it seems that Allah Ta'ala is indicating towards standing. Because you don't really fall down when you sit. You know, some people, he fell down. So when you say fall down, what do you think? The guy's standing. So he goes, because the Quran is mentioning kharruh and the derivatives, it is better to stand. So this is again important. Why? Because people argue over this. You see some persons kissing the Quran and they're in the sitting position, they'll do sujood. I intend to do the sujood. Then there's other rulings. Is it wajib? And people haven't got a clue. I asked one brother, I go, brother, what do you do? I did sujood. What's your intention? I didn't make intention. He goes, Allah Ta'ala knows my intention. I go, yeah. He goes, what's your intention then? Allah Ta'ala, no, Allah Ta'ala knows. But what's your intention? हम लोग सजूद नफल सुनना वाजिब सुनना मुआकिदा इवन Because Allah Ta'ala knows your intention, meaning you didn't even have intention. So for the Shafi'is, it's Sunnah. Right? So it's preferable to stand. And the intention you make is, I intend to do the sujood from the recital of the Quran, following the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, facing the Kaaba, Allahu Akbar. And then you go into sujood. For the Hanafis, it's wajib. So if you are a Hanafi and you say, make that intention, it's not valid. Because the wajib hasn't been completed. So the Hanafi, he stands or sits and he says, I intend to do a prostration from the Quran, which is wajib, following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, facing the Kaaba, Allahu Akbar. There's one prostration, there's not two. Right? So you do one prostration and you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la three times. And there's other du'as which you can add if you wish. And then you come out of prostration, and then again you get that confused person again. Do I finish sitting? Or do I get up again? So the Shafi'is, rahimahumullah, they say that you finish sitting when you give the tasleem. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. The Hanafi state, you get up and there's no tasleem. So you either sit and you finished, or you stand up and you finished. If the Hanafis do the tasleem, there's no problem. But that is not the fiqh of the Hanafis. The reason there's a difference is because the Hanafis say this is not a salat. Only with the salat you do tasleem. The Shafi'i state, it's a salat. So you have to start with a takbir and you finish with the tasleem. If you haven't got a fiqh, do what you want. Right? And the other thing is, the sujood is only wajib or sunnah when it's a live recital. Now, why is that important? Because if you've got a CD and you keep listening to the sujood, it is no sujood. It's not a live recital. One brother has been doing sujoods. I thought, how many sujoods is this guy doing? And he goes, oh, I listen to a CD. And I listened to this verse and he had a sujood and I probably heard it about 10 times. I go, you don't need to do 10 sujoods. And then he goes, oh, don't need to do one. I goes, no, not even one. He got it confused, you, eh? I goes, it's not a live recital. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that. Well, then you go in there. Why are you making life difficult for yourself? If you hear it live, then you got to do the sujood. A wajib for the Hanafis, a sunnah for the Shafi'is. And the other thing is, it's stressed to do it straight away. The Hanafi state is very important to do it straight away. If you don't do it straight away, you do it. You cannot do the sujood at the makruh time. The Shafi's included, right? You have to wait until the makruh time. You can't do it after Asr. You can't do it at Zawal. You can't do it after Fajr. Right? And there's 14 or 15 sujoods in the glory. And here's one of them. So inshallah, after the recital, we will offer the prostration. So I'll recite the verses. And we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقرآنا فرقناه لتقرأوا على الناس على مكث ونزلناه تنزيلا قل آمنوا به أو لا تؤمنوا إن الذين أوتوا العلم من قبله إذا يتلى عليهم يخرون للأذقان سجدا ويقولون سبحان ربنا إن كان وعد ربنا لمفعولا ويخرون للأذقان يبكون ويزيدهم خشوعا. We pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان الذي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.